You've tuned in to Naturopathy Earth Radio in occult health news, where you get the latest on medical cover-ups, government malfeasance, toxins being put in our food and home, as well as sound, clean eating principles. We are here to cast a light on what the big sick care industry and its government shills don't want you to know. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of shackles of Big Food and start your journey now on a long, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathy Earth. Here's your host, A. Gregory Luna.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory, and welcome back to another episode of MP Radio and Occult Health News. I hope you're doing well today. Before we begin, please visit the website, naturopathicearth.com. Check out all the articles and free PDFs and all the podcast episodes and food recipes that are there. I recently published a recipe on chocolate cheesecake, and I did a couple of soups. I did a keto asparagus soup, and I did a one on hot chocolate, a keto hot chocolate. So check those out. You can print those out and give them a try and let me know how they come out. As always, I am a paleo-inspired holistic health coach. If any of you are in the need to lose weight, contact me. You know, I've created a new blog series entitled How I Lost Over 100 Pounds and I've Kept It Off for 25 Years. I think when this is being released, I have 5 installments out. And so I'm trying to answer that question in slow little tidbits to help people out. But if you need some more one-on-one guidance, if you need a guru to help you out, contact me. There's a contact us section on the website. Just type in your name and your email and boom, I'll respond pretty quickly. Also, please, if you want to support us, we have a Patreon account. If you go to naturopathicearth.com, you'll see the orange Patreon logo on the right. Just click on that and I'll send you straight over there. Also, on the right side, you'll see the cover of my ebook memoir, Confessions of an Obese Child. Click on that and I'll send you straight to Amazon. I also have it available on Barnes & Noble Nook for a meager $2.99, which is cheaper than overpriced coffee in America. So please support the enterprise and purchase that. And if you do, post a review because we like the reviews. All right, let's talk about some shivering. The reason I wanted to talk about shivering and in general cold thermogenesis is, well, because it's getting colder. I largely get inspired by what I see around me. I was listening to this podcast. I think it was An Art of Manliness. I really like that podcast. I would recommend any of you who are men to listen to that podcast. And or either that or it was on NPR, but they were talking about how because of the phones, we no longer have downtime where our mind can wander. You know, that boring time that we used to have when we were in church or at school prior to the advent of smartphones, where our mind would just wander. And one of the kind of negative ancillary benefits of not having that is our brain doesn't get to kind of ruminate. And then when we're ruminating and we're kind of bored is when we come up with some of our greatest inspirations. But if we're constantly hooked into the matrix with our phones at all time, not only are we always in a vigilant, agitated state and we're releasing cortisol all the time and the fear of missing out and all that nonsense, which I talk about in the screen addiction episode, which is around episode 70, but we're just not allowing ourselves just to think. And so I was taking a walk with my daughter on Sunday and in the cold, and I was like, hey, let's do an episode on shivering. And you know, and to be fair, you know, a lot of parents are like, oh, you know, like my teenage students, they're taught that old kind of grandma folklore tale, oh, don't go outside, cold will get you sick. No, pathogens get you sick. Cold does not get you sick. Of course, if you know, if it's extremely cold, sure, you could get sick, but none of us are in that kind of super cold hypothermia kind of environment. But cold is beneficial, Now, that's not to say my daughter went out just in her diaper, okay? So just in case her mom's listening here. No, I mean, she was wearing clothes, but it was cold. It was windy. You know, it was probably like 40 degrees, which is cold for South Texas. But, you know, we were shivering a tad. But, hey, she got to see some deer and some cats, which is really cool for a 19-month-old. But my point, before I start meandering here, my point is that cold is good for you. And so I was outside away from my phone, and I thought, hey, let's do the episode on shivering. Let's do that. So let's talk about some of the benefits of shivering. And I do have an article that I wrote maybe right at the beginning of the website's creation about a year and a half ago on cryotherapy, which is kind of very in the zeitgeist right now. It's pretty popular of standing in the freezing chambers for a few minutes to get essentially shot up with gaseous nitrogen, where it drops the body's temperature from about 98 to 32 degrees. I mean, it's extremely cold. You're only there in a couple of minutes. And I'll include the link to that article. But this episode is going to be more about shivering in general and how we should just kind of stay cold throughout most of the winter. So new research is showing that shivering may be more effective than exercise when it comes to burning fat, raising the possibility that people determined to lose weight need only to go outside without a jacket to achieve their goal. Now, that's an overly simplistic view of it, but shivering can be one of the weapons, and there are many weapons, in achieving weight loss and weight maintenance. So there was a study that came out anchored by Paul Lee, an endocrinologist at the Garvan Institute of Medical Research in Sydney. And he released a study, and in the press release, it said that the new findings built on previous research into so-called brown fat. And we're going to talk about brown fat in a second. It's a type of fat tissue that essentially burns energy instead of storing it. So whereas 50 grams of white fat stores 300 calories, 50 grams of brown fat can burn 300 calories. So we want to have more of the brown fat than we do of the white fat. So this study, which was published in the journal Cell Metabolism, shows that fat transformation from white fat to brown fat may be achieved without access to weights or treadmills. By exposing volunteers to cold temperatures and measuring their production of hormones associated with brown fat activation, the research found that 10 to 15 minutes of shivering yielded the same increase in production as 1 hour of moderate exercise. And they talk about the different hormones that are stimulated by cold. I don't really want to get down into the physiology of it. There was another study that was done in 2015. It was headed by Wouter van Marken-Lichtenbelt, a professor of energetics at Maastricht University. And he found 8 overweight men in their late 50s suffering from type 2 diabetes and decided to see how short-term cold exposure would alter their bodies. So the men dressed in shorts and sat in a chilly, it was about, I'm trying to convert this, 14 Celsius, about 60 degree room, the temperature just above the point where they would begin to shiver uncontrollably. They spent 6 hours a day in the cold for 10 straight days as their insulin production and blood levels were monitored. At the end of the study, their bodies metabolized sugar from their blood 43% more efficiently than when they started. In other words, in just under 2 weeks, cold exposure began to reverse the symptoms of diabetes. Now, that reminds me, we do have an episode on how type 2 diabetes can be reversed without any drugs. And that's episode 81 of A Cold Health News, if you want to check out that one. But that one doesn't even mention the cold biohacking that we're talking about today. And so both studies are talking about the brown fat. It's called BAT, brown adipose tissue, and how its primary purpose is to pull ordinary white fat from storage and burn it to keep you warm. And see, in the olden days, if you think like in the Paleolithic era, we were always seeking out comfort, right? Because it was always uncomfortable. It was either too hot, or you were exposed to the rain and the elements, or it was too cold. And now we suffer from the opposite problem. We are not scarce on resources, we're overabundant on resources. That's why obesity is so rampant. Now, we need to do things and initiate biohacks to help us speed up our metabolism. So what heat does is it opens up our circulatory system. This is why if you go to that episode around 100 about how sitting in a sauna for just 20 minutes a day, four times a week, drastically reduces your all-risk mortality by 77% and your risk of acquiring dementia and Alzheimer's by the same amount. Heat stimulates the cardiovascular system to become more efficient and increase evaporation and cooling. And so what happens when you put your body in a super cold state, a couple of things happen. The body is going to release a bunch of cascading adaptive hormones that are going to be like, oh, damn, it's cold. We need to heat our body up. And so this is when it taps into that BAT, the brown fat. Also, they've done studies that show that when you're in the cold, it heightens mental awareness, it tweaks insulin production, and makes your circulatory system work better. And we also know that cold therapy is very effective in rejuvenating or healing injuries. And this is why when you talk about cryotherapy or just cold thermogenesis in general, we think about athletes, right? After a football game, what do? They sit in the ice baths. Or nowadays, they'll do cryotherapy because they know it rejuvenates muscles and accelerates healing. So scientists have hypothesized that probably most of us don't have a lot of brown fat. And brown fat is the good fat, the one that activates what we perceive to be the bad fat and converts it into brown fat so it can be burnt for energy. And one of the reasons they believe this is that we all live in a controlled environment day in and day out, right? We have the nice thermostat and we're always indoors, especially in the winter. And so babies, for example, have the brown fat, and that's what allows them not to succumb to cold weather in their early months. But most of us are born with about 5% of our body mass being brown fat. But by the time we reach adulthood, it's pretty much gone. And that contributes partly to the obesity problem that we have, which is one of the many, 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 many reasons that we're overweight. So the studies are very promising. They're showing that if you keep your body cold and if you keep your house cold, maybe 60 degrees, 62 degrees in the winter, or just don't turn on your heater and just put a bunch of blankets on at night, right? We all sleep better in the dark and at very dark and very cold. If you go back to the episodes we did on insomnia, the biohacks for insomnia, which I believe is probably around episode 25 or so. And I think it's episodes 25 for the really bad insomnia and then episode 9 for just regular biohacks to sleep better. We talk about how you want it to be really, really cold. Because think about it. No one sleeps well when it's hot. You get all sweaty. And some of us are hot burners. Like, I'll start at night cold and I put my room cold or don't turn on the heater. In the middle of the night, I'm like sweating under the sheets. But cold weather, keep your body cold as much as possible. And you'll just continuously burn calories. I've talked about, and in one of the excerpts of how I lost over 100 pounds and kept it off for 25 years, I talk about how lifting weights and cardio, where a lot of us are couch potato cardio people, where we sit and just be sedentary for most of the day, and then we do a 30-minute moderate cardio exercise. And that does spike our metabolism for maybe an hour, and then it goes back to normal. And that's one of the reasons we need to be doing strength training. Because strength training lifting actually raises our metabolism for a longer amount of hours throughout the day. But one of the double biohacks that you can do is do both throughout the day. So walk a lot. Go walk the stairs every 30 minutes at your house. Drop and do some push-ups. Wherever you're working at, go walk the stairwell. Go take a walk during lunch. All these things that can keep it primed. Well, one of the things that you can do is when you go outside in the cold, don't wear that thick jacket. Maybe just wear a light sweater or no sweater at all, where it's a little uncomfortable, but not super uncomfortable, where you're shivering continuously. Okay, let's take a quick break. Before I finish up, I just want to rattle off some of the benefits of doing some sort of cold exposure, cold showers. We've talked about how the shivering can ratchet up your metabolism to the point where you're burning more calories by the brown fat in your body, converting the white fat into burnable fat. It's almost like ketosis. It's almost like fasting, where in fasting or in a ketogenic diet, we've exhausted all the glycogen, the stored glucose, and then we're tapping into the fat reserves. So it's kind of similar to that. But let's just talk about really, really fast some of the benefits of just cold exposure and some of the good things that it does. So we've already talked about how it helps with burning calories and ratcheting up your metabolism. They did some studies on cold exposed mice, and they found that the mice eat far more calories but weighed less than those who are not exposed to cold temperature. We know that cold exposure fights inflammation. There is a protein in the body called adiponectin, and adiponectin is known to help fight inflammation, and you release more of this when it is cold. There's also done studies that show that cold exposure increases your lifespan, shows that flies can live twice as long when kept at 70 degrees Fahrenheit than if they were kept at 84 degrees. And they've also done some research on worms and on other insects that show that. And so if it's good enough for the insects, theoretically, it's good enough for us. I mean, hell, think about what is it, cryogenics, where they freeze our brain when we die and the chance that they can thaw us back out when they figured out the cure for the disease that killed us. Also, cold exposure strengthens the nervous system. We've talked about how it does make you more alert. I remember a long time ago reading an article about how Letterman would keep the temperature in his studio cold, and on purpose, because when it's cold, he knew that it would keep your mind more alert, and therefore they'd be more likely to laugh and be more energetic than if it was warm. This kind of reminds me of the old social Darwinistic climate and environment studies that used to be done about how people who lived in the equator tended to be low IQ than people who live in the mid latitudes like Europe and United States. And one of the reasons is because when it's always warm, like in the tropics, every day it's warm, you just don't want to do anything. You just want to sleep, and it's very torpid. Whereas where you live in an area that has seasons, a mixture of different climates, especially winter and fall, it keeps your mind more alert. We've talked about cold exposure healing injuries and speed recovery. Athletes have known this for quite some time, how it just initiates a faster response from the body. Again, going back to the circulatory system and the muscles and so forth, that when you are very cold, the body is like, it's another term you can use is hormesis. So hormesis is when the body responds to something negative, like short amounts of negative activities or exposures are bad, but in the long run, the body's response to it ends up being more of a net benefit. So exercise, for example, is a type of hormesis, and cold therapy would as well, and theoretically radiation would be hormetic to small doses of it. But just putting the athletes in colder temperature makes the body wake up and be like, oh damn, we need to warm up. And by the process of warming it up, it just accelerates the healing of those muscles that have been torn after working out. Cold exposure regulates blood sugar levels. And going back to adiponectin, one study found adiponectin levels increased by 70% after cold exposure, and adiponectin is a protein involved in blood glucose regulation. And so cold exposure can enhance the body's response to insulin, allowing glucose to be cleared from the blood quicker. And so this would be really great for pre-diabetics and diabetics in general, all of us who want to be insulin sensitive and not insulin resistant. And when we get our insulin and our blood glucose out, our glucose out of the blood as soon as possible and sent to where it needs to be. We've talked about how cold exposure improves sleep qualities. They've done this for many, many studies showing that the brain falls into a slow wave, more restorative sleep when it's colder. And the National Sleep Foundation recommends that your bedroom should be anywhere between 60 and 67 degrees. Now you're like, Gregory, that's expensive. I got to keep my three. Yeah, well, maybe in the summer it is, but hey, in the winter, just don't turn on your heat. Cold exposure strengthens the immune system. It shows that it increases the amount of natural killer cells, which is a type of white blood cell that's circulating around. And it showed that there was a study that showed that 6 weeks of exposing people to a colder temperature increased the amount of these types of white blood cells. And they've also done studies showing that cold exposure enhances detox pathways. And so one of the reasons for that is glutathione. Glutathione is like the master antioxidant. Antioxidants are things that fight against free radicals and inflammation and cancer. And apparently, when you are exposed to cold temperatures, we make more glutathione naturally. Now, you can buy glutathione over the counter, but it's best when it's made by the body, unlike vitamin C, which the human body cannot make at all. Also, cold reduces pain. We've already talked about that in general. So look, there are a lot of benefits to cold thermogenesis and keeping your body at a cold temperature. All right, let's finish up. Okay, so a couple of tips here. You want to be pretty gradual on exposing your body to cold therapy. It's kind of like when you're fasting. You know, you don't want to just start doing 24-hour fasts a day after you commonly eat 6 meals a day, and your body's going to go through that kind of fasting withdrawal. Same for keto. A lot of people start keto and their body just rejects that. You know, it just takes time for it to kick in. And the same thing could be said for cold thermogenesis. So little things that you can do: start turning your central heater down. When you go for walks, wear less clothing. Then maybe move on to some cold showers. Now, the keys with the showers is that at the beginning, it's going to shock you, right? You feel that. But you got to control your breathing and you got to keep calm. And the cold sensation, you should try to do it for like 30 seconds, will dissipate if you kind of focus your mind on the cold and on the pain and relax instead of tightening your muscles and clenching them up. And the other thing that you kind of have to learn how to do is master kind of suppressing your impulse to shiver yourself warm so the body then would generate that brown fat. Other little things you can do, and I do this, I run shirtless. I've mentioned in the last Confessions of an Obese Child, the one I talked about with my fat, my bloopy and my skin, my stretch marks and so forth, how I run shirtless. Now, if it's 30 degrees outside, I'm probably not going to be running shirtless. But when it's 50, 55, I don't run with a shirt. And that's another thing you can do. And do ice baths. If you have a bathtub, especially if you are one of those CrossFit, high-intensity interval training kind of people, do cryotherapy. I'll include a link on this episode to the article that we have on it. And a lot of celebrities doing it. It's a big biohack right now. And here in San Antonio, it's about $50 for a 3-minute session. So it's pretty expensive, especially when you compare it to like another popular biohack, which is flotation therapy or floating in an ISO tank of salt water. Kate and I did an interview of the manager of a float place back in the summer, and those cost about the same price. They're about $50. And with flotation therapy, you get about 45 minutes floating. Now, the benefits of it are radically different. Flotation therapy is better for those who have PTSD, or if you have magnesium deficiency, or if you're pregnant, or if you have anxiety and so forth, because it helps with the racing thoughts. But that is another very popular biohack, and that's episode 43 of A Cold Health News, so go check that out. But if you have the money, sure, go to a cryotherapy lab and try it out. Now, there are things that you can buy that a lot of these athletes will buy that they can wrap around themselves to help keep your life in a kind of a world of cold. And so they have these things called chili pads, and chili pads keep your mattress cool. I'll see if I can find it on Amazon and put it on a link on the episode notes. A cryo helmet. A cryo helmet sounds like what it sounds like, right? It's a cold helmet. Again, it's really done to kind of increase your cognition, because we talked about how being in the cold improves your mental clarity. But also, it's a nice little biohack to burn the calories. And then they have flexi freeze vests. I've seen these actually. I can't remember where I saw it. I think I saw it at a convention. But these are like ice vests that you can wrap around and wear them. And they keep your body cold throughout the day. So you can put your dress shirt and at work you wear this and just keeps you like a little tinge of cold. Or people wear it during the summer, same thing when they're working out to keep their body cold. So these are little biohacks. You know, we don't really do a lot of episodes on biohacking too much. But these are little things that will keep your body working at an optimal level. And also for most of us, where weight loss or weight maintenance is so important, shivering, keeping your body cold, will burn extra calories throughout the day. And so as I mentioned before, 15 minutes of shivering is the equivalent of 60 minutes of moderate exercise. So, you know, why not do both? And then why not mix in a sauna or a steam room? Why not mix in the cold showers? Why not mix in taking walks at night, which all of you hopefully are doing, and just wearing less clothes? All right, so try all these things out, especially with the holiday season coming. I think I've mentioned before, most of us are at our optimal weight in September. September is where we're typically at our lowest weight. And I believe this has more to do with just coming out of the summer. Most of us lose weight in the summer. I think there might be a connection to the vitamin D because we know that vitamin D does affect weight maintenance and metabolism. And also, we don't eat as much and we don't eat as much as the comfort foods when it's colder. So with the cold months coming and with the holiday season coming, now, we do tend to eat more food and we tend to eat more of the comfort foods. I do have that episode about how to biohack your way through the holidays. I believe that's around Thanksgiving. I released that last year. So it was episode 76. So check that out. I'll give 16 steps on how to kind of keep your metabolism going throughout the day on Halloween or Thanksgiving or Christmas or Super Bowl, these kind of bingy days that we have. So check out that article, guys. So as always, please hit the subscribe button right now on your phone so these episodes are sent directly to you. Go to the website, Naturopathic Earth, and go into the opt-in where I ask for your name and your email. Therefore, every article, recipe that I write throughout the week, and I try to make about 5 blog articles or recipes a week, including these episodes, will be sent directly to your phone. And as always, please share these episodes, share the feed with people that you know who might find this interesting. And in general, biohacking our health, optimization of our health, weight loss, these are really universal themes that we should all be interested in because it helps all of us. You know, if you're an accountant or an athlete or a celebrity or a 16-year-old, we all want to live a long life and we want to have a healthy weight and so forth. So share this with many people, and as always, post a review for Cold Health News or Confessions of an Obese Child or Kate's Apothecary, which is always a very popular podcast, even though Kate hasn't released an episode in over a year, it still gets a lot of downloads. So check all of them out. Until next time, guys, take care. Have a great Thanksgiving. I probably won't do an episode before that, so happy Thanksgiving. And as always, every day, let's give blessings and thankfulness to God for giving us all that we have. Because in general, you know, I was taught in the old Catholic school, there's 3 types of prayers. There's petition, thanksgiving, and praise. So praise is like praise God for being God. Thanksgiving is thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for us, for allowing us the chance to go to heaven. Thank you for cookies and brownies and our children and our jobs. And that petition is, you know, please give us this, please give us that. And nowadays, out of those 3 types of prayers, I think most of the time, most of us are like 80% petition. And we don't really pray. But then when we do pray, it's always, please give us this, give us that, have this person fall in love with me, please help me make more money, please, blah, 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 blah. And we really don't do the other 2 types of prayers, which is thanksgiving. And so every day, the old classical Catholic form of prayer, and if you're Protestant or atheist, you'll be, oh, well, the Catholics do that, I guess I'm not. But it makes sense. We forget to give thanks. And we don't need the government, we don't need FDR who initiated Thanksgiving to tell us when we should give thanks. We should be giving thanks every day in a short prayer. Thank you for my job. Thank you for being able, for me being able to walk and talk and breathe and all the innumerable things and blessings that we have compared to those who live in sub-Saharan Africa, who live in a and just total poverty and pestilence and rape and all these horrible things. We don't really take those for granted. Or we do take those for granted. So pray for Thanksgiving every day and praise God for creating us, because we didn't create ourselves, ladies and gentlemen. All right, I'll get off the religious bandwagon. Until next time, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to NPE Radio and Occult Health News. Visit our website at naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Occult Health News and at our Facebook page at Naturopathy Earth. Please consider a donation at patreon.com/naturopathicearth. Consider subscribing to our podcast. And as always, please post an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to this. And remember the core belief at NPE. Let food be thy medicine. Let nature be thy healer. Until next time. Music attributed to Nine Inch Nails. I will use my voice. I will use my faith.